TFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Visit www.CapturedPrey.com for all your import, transformers, and third-party figure needs. And save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular toy conventions like BotCon and TFCon, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan.
Stars that came here to earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hit us with one of those sick beats, Don.
Cold Slither, you'll be joining us soon.
What? That was random.
I thought of the opening line.
I dug where you were coming from. I dug it. I knew it.
It was Cold Slither. I mean, everyone knows Cold Slither.
I'm not aware of these lyrics.
All the youth.
I could have broken out into a spontaneous rendition of a jam song, but no.
Oh.
Well, a friend of mine, his wife loves, she collects Jim dolls. And she actually took all the cassettes and burnt all the songs to a CD for me. Just because I mentioned, you know, I liked the singing voices for the characters, she made me a Jim CD with all the copies of the songs off cassettes.
Now, that's a really good question. Why can't you download that from iTunes now? I mean, seriously, that needs to happen.
Well, they're short, but I always thought the singing voices for the characters was pretty well done for a children's cartoon.
Oh, it was amazing.
It was even outrageous.
They're coming out with a Jim movie, so yeah. I mean, just give it time.
Yes, that's happening.
Yeah. Well, good evening, everybody. Everybody doing all right?
I'm doing fine.
I'm doing okay.
Wonderful.
you sounded like you were just full of life and vigor there, Megan.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but we've got rain, cold rain, wet rain, and more rain.
We've got snow.
You got snow?
Yeah.
I'm
3 inches on my truck right now.
I had sunny blue skies and 80-degree weather.
We hate you. We hate you.
Welcome to Florida.
Yeah, welcome to another edition of TFYLP where we all hate Sideburn.
Or we all hate Florida.
Well, Florida brings a lot onto itself. If anyone's listened to Nash and his show over at Channel Awesome, What the Beep is Wrong with You? Most all the news comes from Florida.
It does. Every time you hear someone locking themselves in a car or calling the police on McDonald's chicken nuggets, it's freaking Florida. I hate it.
Florida's just full of crazies. I should know. I lived there for 16 years.
Well, tonight we have with us the most of the regular crew. Me, Massey is in Utopia's box over there sleeping. I get a toy, he gets the box. That's how it works out. Megamus is with us.
Hello.
Oh, that was just awesome.
So much flat.
So flat. Yeah. Come on, give us some vigor
he's
there,
so
man.
So enthusiastic tonight.
Well, he's warm and toasty with his toboggan. So, you know.
Freaking cold. I'm not in Florida.
And of course, we have our fearless leader, Duran.
Hola, ¿cómo está usted?
Okay, if someone
and high
switched
school
him
Spanish.
Off, someone switch him off SAP. and we have Mr. What's your name again with the glasses and all the custom figures again? I can't remember your name again. Which one is that?
The Plasticon dude? Wait, you're talking about the G2 enthusiasts here, yes.
Yes. Fanatic enthusiasts.
Che Guevara, Generation 2.
A.K.A. that guy.
That guy.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, I'll give him that guy with glasses, but that could get us sued, so we won't do that.
Hey, course, I'm a big fan of him. I think he's awesome.
I know. He also has an awesome channel. And then, of course, we have Sideburn with us this evening.
Hi, everybody. I'm the best one, in my opinion.
He's the most your mom beast one. We should say the beast one.
My mom says I'm special.
Yeah, the
foam helmet and all.
Yeah, the Beast Wars fan with an RID. Well, now, we can't call it RID by itself unless we call new RID, new RID.
No, it RID is RID. This new crap is the new crap. So, yes, okay. Sideburn is RID.
The new hollowness.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot of information to cover tonight. Not really, but we're going to call it that anyway. If not, we'll find something to talk about for 2 hours.
We're here to entertain and interform.
Interform. Yeah. I'm not going to join you guys with that interforming.
Well, first up, we're going to talk about some news. And, Lauren, what news do we have out of the world of Japan?
Well, you know, Combiner Wars is the new hotness right now. Everybody's in on it, including myself. Finally got Silverbolt today, and if you hadn't seen the latest photo shoot, check out the Facebook group for TFYLP, and I believe very soon I will have the photos up on tftalk.net. I need to close my email here because it keeps dinging. But yeah, Combiner Wars is the new hotness right now, and everybody's, you know, going gaga over them, including myself. I can't get enough of these. And
can
I say gaga, not Lady Gaga. No, I say gaga, not Lady Gaga. I'm not going to be wearing a suit of meat.
You misspoke yourself.
Yeah, I'm not going to be wearing a suit of meat or something. Maybe if I could. I could like glue some all over me and just like
if it's meat, it's got to be bacon.
Bacon is bacon makes everything awesome.
I feel like a bacon would feel really nasty.
Okay, so I vote for the next generation for the next combiner they come out for fan built. It needs to be named the Baconator.
Yes,
I can't do that. Wendy's already has a sandwich with that.
Yeah,
Wendy,
it's good too.
Yeah, it'd be another Philip Morris version 2.0 here.
Actually,
that's something else we'll talk about here shortly.
Yeah.
But Combiner Wars is the new hotness. But one of the things that's been just eating at people, including myself, is the fact that you know, we got Alpha Bravo, who kind of looks like Slingshot, but he's a helicopter. And everybody's like, well, why didn't we get Slingshot? Well, then we had the revelation that Takara is going to come out with the Unite team, the Unite Combiner team. And it's basically Superion, but they are going to have a redeco of Firefly as Slingshot. And
there's another thing I noticed with those, though. White fists and white feet.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I actually think it's going to be more of an amalgamation of Firefly and maybe Skydive, some of the parts, and then a totally new paint scheme. But at any rate, Takara is getting the slingshot. And I tell you what, having seen the pictures of the Takara version of the aerial bots, I mean, like Skydive actually has the lightning bolts on the wings and everything. They look great. That notwithstanding, they're also getting slingshot. Well, then fast forward another day this week, we also heard that we're getting Slingshot and Wild Rider as Toys R Us exclusives here in the United States. So when that will be is anybody's guess at this time, but color me happy. I do like Alpha Bravo and everything. Yeah, I believe Magnus is sharing a picture right now, and that is the Takara version of Superion. I don't know if you can see, even Skydive has the blue tail fin, and then of course you can see the white fists and the white foot pads for the Takara version as well.
I personally think the white fists and the white feet work better on this.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the black ones because I don't know what it is. I think it just completely messes up the silhouette.
Well, you got a problem with the black ones?
Yes, I did. Sorry.
And see, in my opinion, I think the white is just makes it too much. I mean, that's the problem I've always had with Superion, is he's so boring and bland, and when you just add more white to him, I think it makes him blander.
Yeah, and
blander. Yeah,
blander. And I'm not one to really pick apart a deco unless something really just sets me. Because I know Takara has different aesthetics and all that. But that jelly donut lemon filled yellow paint has got to go.
On the Takara version?
Yeah, that it looks like if you buy a jelly filled lemon donut and you bite into it, and that artificial lemon filling oozes out, it's the same yellow as the yellow on the Superion. It just does not help the figure look well.
Why can't they just use gold?
Yeah, and
I'm surprised they didn't chrome.
Use gold or chrome, one of the two.
Yeah. And the other small thing that bugs me is the blue on Skydive, because on the original toy, And RFC, we were trying to figure out, where did they get the blue from?
The blue comes from the sticker that's on the tail fin.
Yeah, we figured that out. It's like, yeah, but that's a little too much blue because it's the only color that doesn't have any corresponding matchup anywhere on the figure.
Mm-hmm. To be honest, it should only be on one side of the tail fins. If they would paint the inside portions, just leave those black, and do the outside blue with the lightning bolt, it would look really good.
Yeah. But I will say I do like the way the red crotch piece at the bottom of the chest covers the they've extended it to cover the actual black part of the upper legs because it does give you that more. And I'm not a G1 purist, but well, I kind of am because I've got my Superion done like the box art with the chest facing forward. That's just me.
Until I get Air Raid, which will go right here, Firefly will be up here on the arm.
And yeah,
Alpha Bravo is just going to be an honorary aerial bot. He's going to come off as soon as Slingshot.
Yeah, because Skydive and Air Raid are always the feet for me, and then Firefly and Slingshot. But I do like the way that they made the cod piece a little bit longer.
The cod piece.
So it does sort of help. Anyway, other than the white hands and the off kilter blue, what do y'all think?
I like it so much so that until we heard about the Takara version, or I mean the Toys R Us exclusive of Silver Bolt, or I'm sorry, Slingshot and Wild Rider, I'd planned on keeping my Alpha Bravo, selling off Silverbolt and the other aerial bots for a loss probably, and picking up the Takara Superion. And I actually may still do that. because simply I like the color scheme a lot better. Before we move on, I do want to say if you're listening to us live, I am monitoring the Facebook group on my iPad here, and I think Megamus checks in from time to time. And if you have any comments on what we're talking about while we're live right now, feel free to tell us on there, or you can tweet us at TFYLP, and I'll check that out too if I can. And if it's relevant to our discussion, I may mention it on air.
So I'm going to go on the record and saying I prefer the Hasbro paint scheme. That's just me. I think it – I don't know. Like I said, the Takara one might be, I don't know, more G1 or something, but I don't know. I think it's too drab to me. It's too much the same. Now, you guys did fail to mention the most important part about Slingshot is that the Takara version does have a new head sculpt.
Oh, I didn't even look at that, just to be honest.
I've not seen a high enough resolution picture. I thought it looked like kind of like Firefly's head just repainted.
Here, let me screen share.
And this is one of those benefits for those of you who watch. It is a completely new.
So as far as I can tell, I looked at the pictures of it. It's the completely same toy as Firefly or Fireflight, just new heads. So, I mean, I would assume that is how the Hasbro version is going to be, because I highly doubt Takara.
The chest is different.
Oh,
wait a minute. No, I was looking at Skydive. Never mind. My bad.
Yeah, it has the same chest. The only thing different is, of course, they've moved the Autobot Tampo to his shoulder instead of his chest. But I mean, I would assume that this head was already molded and planned from the very beginning. So, I highly suspect that means the Hasbro version will have the same head.
Yeah. I highly suspect that there's a lot of stuff we don't even know about with these combiners, because, I mean, this is something that I was kind of predicting, because I was sitting there thinking, okay, if I was to buy the Hasbro version, the helicopter guy's cool, but I don't really prefer him, so I would probably, you know, get like another Firefly paint thing, or either paint or do some part swapping between that one and Alpha Bravo to make the head look more like Slingshot, and then lo and behold, Takara releases this thing, and now we're going to get one here in the States.
Which I know,
tells me that there's a lot more in the works than we probably even know about right now.
Well, you know, I'll be honest. I like Alpha Bravo being part of it. It breaks up the sameness of four similar style jets, because that's everyone's problem with Superion was the same thing. He's bland. He's samey. It's just... Visually, he's the most uniform combiner, but he's also visually one of the most borings. From the color scheme and the shape of all the characters are all very similar. So I think I like Alpha Bravo because he breaks up that sameness a lot.
You know, it's kind of interesting that they release Superion as the first combiner in Combiner Wars because he's so bland. You know, you'd think that they'd want to put one of the better ones out first, kind of let people say, hey, look how awesome this line's going to be. But at the same time, look at the buzz that's already going around the net over just Superion.
Well, I have a theory. Now, this is a personal theory. I have no insider knowledge. This is just me pulling an opinion out of a orifice. But
is it your rectum? I suspect it's your rectum. Yeah.
It seems to me, several years ago, Takara said it, Hasbro said it at BotCon, we will get you the toys you want compared to some other companies. It may take a little longer with the rules we have to go through to get them to you, but we know what the fans are looking for, and we will work on getting them to you as fast as we can. This is about a year and a half, 2 years after Uranus came out. My opinion is that's why we're having
the anus thing again. Yeah.
You know, that's my opinion. That I think that's why they went with Combiner Wars. Not only could they get a lot of reuses from the different molds, not only was it a whole new direction, it's showing the Transformer buying fans, both younger and collector, yes, we know the existence of these other companies, but this is what we can do at our price point. You just have to give us time to get there to do it. And, I mean, that may not even be a thing. That may not even occur to them. But it seems to me that that's a pretty strong statement of this is the worst combiner you could probably have as far as fandom, loving it. Look how awesome it is.
Yeah. I mean, every Facebook group that I'm a part of, every Facebook group that I'm a part of, every message board that I go to, the general consensus is everybody is loving these guys. That's getting their hands on them right now. Everybody's loving them.
Not everyone. And,
well, not everybody's an old fogey like you, but we'll talk about that a little more later.
About how old he is? Jeez.
Hey, he's only got me by about 2.5 years, 3 years. But the thing is that you know they're great, and even if you check out my latest photo shoot with Silverbolt, now that I have them combined together and I put them next to TFC Hercules, they can hold their own against these third-party guys. I mean, they don't have necessarily the articulation and the super detail that some of the third parties have, but they're right up there.
Transformation that everybody wants.
Yeah, but they're right up there. They're right up there.
And the price point is where you want it to be, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Much more.
But
well, that's the big thing, you know, and that's the one thing a lot of these guys that are strictly nothing but third-party collectors, nothing against you guys, but these are for the mass market, for the mass population. I hate to say it, third-party stuff really isn't for the mass market because only certain people buy those things.
But now, without getting off topic, we are seeing more affordable, smaller third-party stuff like the Ironhide, the Blur, the Piston, the Gauntlet. So we are.
There's also a set of Fairlay Z's that just came out as well, that's going to be coming out pretty soon too.
Actually, look for a photo shoot from that very soon.
Sneaky devil, you anyhow.
Go ahead.
I just want to say, you know, but Superion is just the tip of the iceberg with the news from Japan. Transformers RID will be coming out in the U.S. here before too long as far as the show. The toys are already out. Takara just surprised us with a whole bunch of stuff that makes you stop and go, why?
Are they even going to be doing RID over there?
Well, yeah, what are they calling it? They're calling it
Transformers Adventure.
Yeah.
Or Adventure
O. Transformers Adventure. Yeah. I like that much better than RID over here.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
But, of course, if it's a sequel, it'll be Transformers Adventure O1 and Transformers Adventure O2. But I posted a link in the chat.
Why don't we just dub this new line TFA?
TFA?
Seriously.
Well, I mean,
come on, just do it. Get it over with. TFA. Done.
But they've got not only just the regular Robots in Disguise figures, they have some molds that personally I have not seen before, at least one of them, and some recolors that are very weird.
Yeah, they're sort of doing what they did with because they didn't do Beast Hunters like we did here with Prime. Mm-hmm. They did... They had like a weird,
did anybody notice Fix-It's name in Japanese?
No.
Fikashito. Fikashito.
Hey, we've lost her.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to buy that toy. I have Fikashito.
But you're not talking about the big one in this whole thing.
Yeah, well,
they're releasing a roadblock out of that scoop mold. That's ingenious.
Yeah, well, Well, now I was it's Roadblock and not Scrapper.
No, it's Roadblock.
Okay, because see, I haven't had.
Yeah, it's the auto roller.
Oh wow, I did not.
And that to me is awesome. I mean, everybody knows how bad the auto rollers are. I mean, I can't grab my.
They have their own charm.
That's the weird freaking thing about this is, like they did with Go, like, or even with Prime, with the Micron campaign or whatever they called it. I can't remember what it was called. You know, they took like Generations figures and like they took Shockwave and put it into the Prime line and different stuff like that. So, I mean, just to list them real quick, you have the repaint of Scoop. You have a repaint of animated Swoop and Snarl. You have a repaint of Beast Hunter's Lockdown, Beast Hunter's Skyquake, and then a much more cartoon accurate version of Beast Hunter's Ultra Magnus.
And it, you know, it looks like there's going to be a redeco of Bumblebee as Drift or something here.
Yeah, and then there was silhouettes of the two Legends Insecticons. There was a silhouette of animated Lockdown. There's the silhouette of the Drift figure, but that's actually the Prime Drift figure. He's getting his own figure in this line.
I dig the dual drill. I don't know what that one is. It's really, really weird. It's
well, that's
got, like, dual drill. Yeah, it's just hilarious.
Now, I think it's supposed to be a mini-con, and it's that's one of the one steps.
There's a Roadblock for you guys out there.
Yeah. With a new gun, it looks like, without the Target Masters.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think those are Target Masters.
Yeah, that's the Target Master.
Oh, maybe it is.
Yeah, it's just one of them, though. One of them. They're not going to do both of them, I don't think.
And now this one is one of the oddest ones I've – it's an homage to the Voltagus character, or Ruination, if you want to call him Ruination.
Yeah. That's really freaking cool.
And is that the strong arm repaint?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some weird stuff in this, like – I don't know. It's sort of weird that why Takara keeps doing this. It's just throwing out this random stuff and lines that don't quite belong.
Now, someone tell me though, because I do not know what Nemesis Prime that is. I do not know that mold.
That is it's not released yet. It's the up and coming deluxe Optimus Prime for the new cartoon.
Oh, okay. All right,
because
I haven't.
I'm digging the axe.
Well, yeah, I want to buy. Awesome. I want to buy him just because he comes with War for Cybertron Optimus Prime's axe, basically.
And it looks like he's got a trailer, or at least a fold out compartments from his legs to form a trailer.
Yeah,
I don't know. It to me, this kind of looks like what the animated Ultra Magnus did, where his legs folded up, but it looks like they probably just fold straight out instead of, like, folding completely.
I mean, I think this toy is pretty much mostly leg trailer.
And
I've already pre-ordered it.
Because he's a deluxe, so he's, you know, being that every time you make, like, someone like Optimus Prime a deluxe, he just looks so much smaller than everyone else. But this line seems to be sticking to deluxes. And then your one-step line. But yeah, some weird stuff coming out of Japan. Yeah.
But, you know, with Japan, it's something that we're used to, getting stuff we're not expecting.
That's very true.
But I think that's the
news right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm sure as soon as we're done, something else will pop up.
Oh, we did want to mention the Philip Morris thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Again, off again.
Yeah, it's the way that we understood it in our RFC, they changed the deco. It wasn't good enough. They changed the deco again. still not good enough. So they're going back into negotiation to change and to see what they can do.
I'm beginning to think that they're not going to come to an agreement.
I'm confused by what this is because I haven't heard of this. So,
Let me y'all explain it. Maybe y'all know a little bit better as far as the history than I do.
Megamus, you know all about the Diaclone, don't you?
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Which one is it?
You saying that
somebody has a link to this thing?
We're talking about Marlboro.
Exhaust. Wheeljack. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The
controversy because Marlboro is evil, even though it's spelled different.
It's not even really a Marlboro homage.
It's not. Actually, to be honest, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but there is actually a real Lancia Stratos that was presented. It actually had the same decals, and Marlboro is misspelled on it. So it literally matches what the old Diaclone one had.
Yeah.
So it was literally from that same car.
Yeah. So right now it's everything's still up in the air about this figure. I haven't heard anything since middle of the week as far as any changes on it. It's just one of them things that shouldn't be an issue, but due to Japanese versus American copyright law, you know, there's going to be.
Well, there's no issue. That's just it, though. There's no issue in Japan over it.
Yeah.
But Takara Tomy knows that this toy is going to be exported in large quantities to the United States and the Western world, and that's where the issue is coming in. Because apparently Philip Morris is saying, "Hey, no, this toy in car form looks too much like our cigarettes," and. It's crazy. It's really crazy.
Well, it's just, I mentioned this before. No one buying this toy is going to run out and start smoking because it vaguely resembles a pack of Marlboros.
Wait a minute. So is that why we never had a Transformer that's a camel?
Don't tease me, man. I totally want
somebody give us a camel Transformer.
Hey, I'd buy a beast camel. I would.
You wouldn't want that. I'm sorry. Yeah. Have it so that way it's got
and for goodness
like bags
sakes, Takara, make a Star Upper toy. I want Star Upper.
Yeah, and the camel could have a little tongue sticking out action that he's spitting at you.
Well, no, he has a missile. He has a missile launcher in his throat. He has a missile launcher in his throat, and it shoots a missile that the tip of it looks like a loogie.
Okay. Well. Hopefully, everyone will be able to sit down and say, hey, we're not making money off this toy. We can be making money off this toy. Let's make some money off this toy and sell it, and then we'll sell it. But moving, unless anyone has anything else they want to add on that?
I don't.
Okay.
Well, see, I kind of find this funny because, you know, again, when it comes to this whole cigarette thing, what about the last Transformer movie? What was one of the biggest sponsors in that you saw all over the place? Bud Light.
Yeah.
So why aren't we getting an Optimus Prime repainted trailer that looks like a freaking Bud Light truck?
I was thinking animated. It's like, there was no Bud Light animated.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Yeah, there was. I mean, there was a ton of it all over the place in that stinking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dumb. I mean, and this comes back to the whole fact that this country has a negative connotation to adult collectible toys. It's sort of like the same idea with video games. Like, this country always thinks toys and video games and stuff of the like are for kids. And it's like, no. If this is an adult collectible, I mean, to start off with, you got to import it from another country, which almost doubles its price right off the bat. No kid is buying this, and then no kid is going to be influenced to go smoke cigarettes because they got it. Because it's just not happening.
Yeah. Not unless you have parents that have no qualms about buying a
And right now, any a kid, you'll be hard pressed to find a kid that knows who Wheeljack is to even give a crap about who Exhaust is supposed to homage. You know, I mean,
I can understand Philip Morris having some worries about getting legal heat from their end, but this is really a non-issue that could be fixed very quickly, and it's just
it's turned into
quagmire.
It's something
they
like.
Well, they can honestly do this. I mean, I hate to say it, Masterpiece fans out there, give us a sticker sheet. Ship the thing straight up black or straight up white, with just the little red thing over the front, and then ship it with a sticker sheet, and that would completely eliminate everything.
Yeah. Well, moving on to our topic of discussion this evening. Being one of the older fans here on TFYLP and having been there since 84, Generation 1 is near and dear to my heart. It's not as close as it is to some people who, you know, that's their Transformers. They, you know, that the three and a half, four years right there, you know, whether you count up to the movie, post-movie SG-1, everyone has their different. It's like, who's your favorite doctor? You know, it's like, where does Generation 1 end? You know, it varies from people to people. But there is more than Generation 1. There is Generation 2. There is Beast Wars. There's Beast Machines. There's Armada, Energon, Cybertron. You've got Animated. You've got Robots in Disguise, the first one. You've got Prime. And you've got, you've got the entire Japanese continuity as well. So, is G1 going to carry the flag forever? Or what? And that's what we're going to discuss, basically, is what's next after G1? Is it the main thing anymore?
You know, that's an interesting question. You know, I mean, I remember whenever Armada came, it was RID right after Beast Machines. Didn't one of the Hasbro execs, it might have even been Aaron Archer himself, that said that they want to go back to Optimus versus Megatron, and it will always be Optimus versus Megatron. I think it boils down to, is everyone okay with that? Is that going to get stale? And I think RID 2.0 is kind of one of our first looks at what the Transformers brand is going to do coming up. Because is Optimus even a central character in it? I mean, I know he's in it, but.
Well, so far, all we know is that he's a dead ghost who's influencing Bumblebee. I mean,
yeah, basically, all he's doing is he's fulfilling the role of Jaga from Thundercats.
Yeah. Or Obi-Wan from Star Wars.
Yeah. He's the ghost of wisdom, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, that's one thing about the new RRD that I'm looking forward to is we've got a new leader. That's not technically, it's not Rodimus. I'm just saying it's a new leader, Bumblebee. We've got a new Decepticon leader, Steeljaw, who has been named as the Decepticon leader, probably of the prisoners.
And that's this guy here. That's the Legends version of it.
Yep. So, but I mean, I'm sorry.
Are we keeping you up?
I haven't had a cup of coffee instead of a bowl.
Talking about all this nuke.
That's why I drank this before we started.
That's but not counting RID 2.0 or New RID, whatever you want to call it. What as the fandom progresses on into the future. What's going to happen next? G1, you know, a lot of us are getting older. A lot of us are going to be dead before too long.
Well, it's not that.
I'm not you, but I plan on living forever. Thank you.
Well, you know, I might have to burn a regeneration or two, but I'll be hanging around for at least another 1,000 years. But but really,
whatever, Dr. Don.
And I am okay with that as long as you see me right before you die.
But as the G1 fans that grew up with it get older, and the newer younger fans like Sideburn, that G1 may not be as entrenched as it is with people my age. What's going to happen then? What's going to be the next G1 focus?
Well, what's going to fuel the brand? I mean, obviously, I don't think G1 is going to, as much as I love G1 and I want to see more and more, but is G1 going to be the end all be all? I mean, are we going to see homages like Superion and Combiner Wars? Are we going to see updates like Generations Brainstorm? Are we going to see that for the next 30 years?
Well, let me say one thing, and it's only because Jason Tate just made this comment. He said if Batman and Superman can go on and on for generations, reinventing themselves over and over and over again, why can't immortal robotic beings, at least it makes sense to me.
That is a good point.
That's a really good point. I mean, sure. Look at Batman. Did you really see Batman as having body armor, driving a tumbler, and this? No. I mean, he was in spandex, and I mean, it evolved. It evolved to the times. It was funny. I just watched a little bit of a side note. I watched a little thing where they were talking about the Dark Knight, and that was the first time that they ever redesigned the bat suit so they could turn his neck or turn his head. And it's different. It's an evolution. So do I think G1 is – it's always going to be there. Are people going to look back to it and remember it? Yeah. But there's a progression. So I think,
absolutely. Well, I mean, you look at G.I. Joe. I mean, it started out with the 12-inch figures and everything, and then you got to the real American hero. And
well, to
me, that's G.I. Joe.
To be honest, when it comes to the G.I. Joe brand, that originally came out to honor the enlisted service. And then they came out with a cartoon. That's where it really blew up. And that's where it went where it did. The problem is with G.I. Joe, you can't carry on such a thing, especially with a lot of the political and all the stuff literally that's going on in the world right now. So it doesn't really hold water like a bunch of alien robots fighting on another planet. Now, if they were able to reinvent it and bring it in as we had like hinted before, like Mask or something like that, that would actually take that brand and keep it going. But you have to sometimes piggyback one brand on top of another one to have it evolve to get somewhere. But things that stand alone like Superman, I mean, even Shogun Warriors and such, most people don't even know what those are. And half the time, they're always coming out with new ones. It's mainly in the high-end collector market right now, but the people that are really getting into Japanese robots have been noticing a lot of this stuff too, along with the newer version of Gal Gigar that just came out recently.
Oh, that thing's gorgeous.
You've seen that thing. It is gorgeous. It is probably some of the best engineering I've ever seen. But it's a high-end collectible toy.
Yeah.
So I can see where some things are going to fall off. Like when it comes to Transformers, everybody's like, okay, robot turns into something. Whether 20, 30 years down the road, Optimus Prime still turns into a truck, we don't know. The way I see it is, it's going to evolve, just like, you know, like we were just talking about when it comes to Batman, Superman, stuff like that. It's going to evolve. I mean, a lot of us that are G1ers or, you know, stuff like that, didn't really like the Michael Bay movies. Why? Because they didn't look like your traditional Optimus Prime or whatever. That technically is the evolution of the brand. Now we got this new cartoon that came out. It's cartoony. It's kind of quirky. It's silly. But, I mean, we don't know where we're going with this new cartoon line either. Is it more adapted toward kids or is it adapted toward adults? Transformers Prime was a little dark. I mean, you have to think about that. So in order to piggyback on it, you got this brand. But the animation looks a lot more kidified. So it might be more of a kiddie market.
Well, so one thing about that is that, and not on a tangent, we are not their market. So a simplified animation style versus the heavy CGI of Prime fits the motif of going of simplifying the transformations and everything else. But as far as, in my opinion, sooner or later, Generation 1 is going to become Diaclone. As far as that natural progression of...
Well, it's always going to be collectible. I mean,
right. I just mean as far as... It's going to be looked at by future collectors as... Diaclone may be like what Micro Man was, or what Diaclone and Micro Man was to U.S. collectors in the 80s and early 90s. It was an unknown. We didn't know where this stuff came from.
Came from the 70s as well. And most of it had comic books and stuff, but there was very little teeny tiny quirks where you had like maybe a cartoon or two that came out back then. And all of this stuff was in Japan, and nobody knew anything about it. That's why Diaclone doesn't – I mean, nothing against Diaclone collectors. Love Diaclone. But it doesn't hold water like G1 does, because everybody remembers those toys. They know where it evolved from, but there was really no solid story arc, to be honest.
And then what I'm saying is, sooner or later to me, Generation 1 is going to become like Diaclone. It'll be known about – but it won't be the main focus of what people are looking for or talking about. It'll be just sort of this point in history where everything descended from it.
Well, right. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, you sit here and you think about the type of cartoons that are coming out. Okay, you got this silly RID thing coming out. But to be honest, I sit here and I think, why did Generation 2 not do as well as everybody thought it, you know, as well as Hasbro was intending it for it to do? A, it was only really a comic book. B, the cartoons were recycled. They were just straight up recycled. So there really was no continuity in order to keep Generation 2 alive. So what were they doing? Probably in the behind the scenes, they were working on Beast Wars. Why do you think all the animation and stuff was as great as it was back then? It's very difficult back then to do that animation at that time. Very time-consuming. So in order to keep the brand alive, they did that. That's why they recycled Machine Wars, which were intentionally going to be Generation 2 toys. But they recycled them, brought them in, called it Machine Wars just to keep the brand up and going, just a little bit more so just to keep the name alive.
Well,
and then Beast Wars hit. Now, honestly, I kind of think this RID thing that they're doing right now is a little morsel of something they got going on behind the scenes. There's probably something big. And you think about you have to think about demographics right now. Who right now do you think is in charge of doing most of the cell animation and stuff? Kids, sideburns age right now. Most of them.
Crux of this episode right there. Who is the influence on today's Transformers?
It's Beast Wars, guys.
I want to hear Sideburn's thoughts on these things. I mean, look at his background. I mean, he's got Beast stuff all around him.
He's even got Godzilla, which is awesome. Go for it, dude.
Well, I would like to say that Beast Wars, I don't think there's going to be like how G1 has gone over the years. You know, we've seen, you know, Optimus is Optimus throughout the generations, and you can tell where he got his roots. You look at G1 Optimus. I don't think Beast Wars is going to come back in such a heavy swing like that, but there's definitely the influence there. Because I mean, the guys who started it with Beast Wars, like me, we often, I don't know, I always like to say that there's two types of fans in the Transformers fandom, and this was more true about 6 years ago than it is now. Or what is it? Goodness, 7 years ago now. about before the movie.
Fast.
Yeah, about before the movie started. There was always there was two groups. There was the G1 fans and the Beast Wars fans, and I've always said that the G1 fans are just the more outspoken fans, and they know what they like. They like G1, and that's, you know, that's great, and it's a great thing to like. I mean, I have some G1 figures over here, and the ones I've chosen to get, I really like because there are characters that I liked. But then there was the Beast Wars fans, and the reason the Beast Wars fans like me sort of, you know, I've heard some people say you don't really hear Beast Wars fans like you in the fandom like you do G1 fans, and it's always been more because, well, if you find a Beast Wars fan, you're probably also going to find an animated fan and that very same Beast Wars fan, and you're probably going to find, you know, a fan of some of the future shows past Beast Wars in those fans. And so I've always said that the Beast Wars fans are just a tad bit more accepting of new things than the G1, which both sides are okay. So I don't think Beast Wars is going to come back in a big swing like G1 has, but I think you're going to start seeing it. Like, if you take a look at the comics right now, someone at IDW finally said, you know, this Civil War stuff is kind of boring. Let's mix it up a little bit. And so they have. You know, the comics have gone in a different direction than Transformers comics have ever gone before. You look at, you know, the upcoming RID show, suddenly we have a cast of Autobots that only have two Autobots that are recognizable, and that's Bumblebee and Grimlock, and an entire cast of Decepticons that we've never heard of. And if you go back in time,
Thunderhoof for the win.
Yeah, I mean, Thunderhoof, you got a guy with antlers who turns into a tractor with a big old, you know, rake on the front of it. But if you go back to, like, Energon, and this is where I'm starting to think, or this is where I'm going to start making my argument that no, G1 probably isn't going to continue to be the crux of this series, and we're already starting to see a switch from it. But back in Energon, we got so excited when we saw Optimus Prime versus someone who wasn't Megatron. And at the time, it was sort of a bait and switch because Megatron showed up two episodes into the series, or he showed up the second episode in the series. But suddenly we're at this point where we're getting a show that doesn't have Optimus as a main character and doesn't have Megatron at all, as far as we know. And so, I mean, the brand's going to survive by reinventing, and we're seeing some of that right now. We're seeing that in comics. We're seeing that in the show. Generations has finally started doing what I've wanted to do since they invented the line, and that's to start bringing out characters that weren't G1. I was getting so tired about 2 years ago, everything coming out was Generation 1. I was like, when they brought out this Generations line, they pitched it as a line that has everything in it because it is going to encompass everything. And then it was like, well, you know, I have something like 100 Generation 1 figures, and I've gotten two Armada figures, one RID figure, and, you know, five Beast Wars figures in that time period. So.
Now, one thing I'm thinking about here, and y'all can tell me if I'm right or wrong or not, really, because you would anyway. But
you're right.
I see the reason G1 it was so heavy with a lot of people is because it ran for so long. Now with RID, Armada, Energon, the trilogy, Prime, and all that, it's almost like Brave. It's almost like we're getting a newer series every year to 2 to 3 years. And again, that's the last level cyber. It's the line reinventing itself. But you don't have that one show that everybody's watching for 3 to 4 years.
Actually, Beast Wars didn't it run from like 96 through 99?
Well, yeah.
It had almost the same kind of run as G1.
For a very long time. And then after
sorry, I just came late.
Oh, wow.
But what I'm saying is that what we're going to have now, when G1 has faded back into history, I think we're going to find the fandom more fragmented because there's been more shows. So you're going to have your Beast Wars fans. That's what they started with. You're going to have your Robots in Disguise fans. You're going to have your animated fans. All these groups are going to be, that's their G1. That's where they began. You're going to have your movie people.
If you don't mind if I interject, I've seen this already from a dealer standpoint, especially from TFCon and stuff. Is I like to call it the sliding timeline of fans, where through product you're able to see what is popular now, what is resonating now. And while I do agree that Generation 1 has been in a decline, mainly because the fans that did watch it during that era when they were at that ripe age, let's say between the ages of like 3 to 12, you know, during 84 to 87, they're in their mid to late 30s to mid 40s. They're now adults. They don't buy as much. They don't focus as much. They don't have much time to be on the boards. They don't have much time to be vocal. They're still there, but they're just not as active as they used to be. Then you jump a generation, and we're not talking G2, we're talking more of the Beast Wars generation. Those guys are in their mid-20s to 30s. They're now the guys that are just finished college, just finished university. They have disposable income. They have time. They haven't got a mortgage yet. They're the guys that are buying a lot. Then you jump another generation, Unicron Trilogy. Those guys, they're in their late teens to early 20s. They have plenty of disposable income. They're living with their parents. They're very vocal. They make a majority of the fandom. They're also the ones that kind of have that resonation towards the Bay movies, and they're very vocal. They're the guys who make up a majority of message board posts and stuff like that. But to say that G1 will completely disappear, I don't think it will happen, because someone at Hasbro, someone in Japan, they don't like to let go of what the past is. There is constant, like, we're not having Masterpiece Beast Wars toys. We're not having Masterpiece Unicron Trilogy stuff. They want to make sure that the past is never forgotten. Number one, the IDW comic books, it's all G1. You know, you have that odd Rat Trap character here and there, for those who haven't read. I'm sorry for any spoilers. But, you know, in general, it's all Generation 1. The Generations line is nothing but a love letter to Generation 1 with the odd, you know, Armada toy and Beast Machine toy here and there. But it's mostly Generation 1. This Combiner Wars, it's all Generation 1. Whatever happens, no matter how far away we get from 84, 85, 86, as time progresses, there is constantly a reminder of what the beginning was and what created Transformers. And the beautiful thing is that doing conventions, you see the young generation that, number one, were not even alive when G1 existed. Hell, most of them weren't even alive when Beast Wars existed. But yet they go out of their way to pick up G1 toys, G1 characters, because of the respect and understanding of the past. I think that a lot of times people kind of get worried because they see how G.I. Joe is, where there's such a huge separation between the 60s Joe collectors and the real American hero 80s collectors. Such a huge separation.
I've actually been afraid of Transformers.
But it's like I was saying earlier, I know Dan wasn't here, but the reason why G.I. Joe's the way it is because, first off, when they first came out, they were a salute to the troops. Mm-hmm. And then after that, when it became a cartoon series, it became something entirely different. And now it doesn't fit into today's
marketing
politics, yeah. Everything. And they don't know what to do with it.
You're leaving out one little thing, and that was the social aspect on that. If you remember, the 12-inch G.I. Joe's turned into Action Man because being a military militia was not socially what what people they wanted their kids to play with. So because of society and because of the war, this and the other, it changed. And that kind of segued into the All American Hero, and then the downscale and all that. But there was more to it than that. I think comparing G.I. Joe and Transformers, you can't.
I know
you're talking about two different things.
I think that's one thing I always want to reiterate is that I don't think that kind of example will ever happen. And the beautiful thing more than anything is today we live in a YouTube era where any 5-year-old could just go to YouTube and watch a G1 episode. And the beautiful, discerning mind of a 5-year-old will able to ignore, 80s animation and just enjoy it for what it is. They're not really looking for complex story. I mean, you're talking the same generation that's able to watch anime, which has very little, cell animation to it, not much complex story, but yet they enjoy it and buy tons of the product. So if they're able to enjoy that, they could easily watch a G1 episode done in the 80s by Marvel Studios and Sunbow and just appreciate it for what it is. Even if it might be considered simplistic by today's standards. And that's why I feel that G1 will consistently be something that exists, because even in the new series, there's always something that pulls back to the past. Hasbro goes out of their way to – even like look at RID. Bumblebee is still yellow. He turns into a car. It's not a Volkswagen Beetle, but he's still a yellow car. There'll be plenty of other characters in RID, the new series, that are going to be just enough to give a tip of the hat to G1, whether it be a Sideswipe that's a red sports car and that's kind of, Michael Bell sounding and young sounding and everything, like the old G1 Sideswipe. There'll always be something that'll constantly resonate back to that. The same thing, all the comic book stuff has been a love letter to G1. G1 is stronger than it's ever been. If you would have told me this during the Beast Wars era, then that would have been more believable. But even the Unicron trilogy, especially during Superlink, which was Energon, tons of Generation 1 homages and just a love letter to it. During that time, we had Vinyl Tech, which was Alternators, and Masterpiece was just getting its legs. I mean, I don't think Generation 1 will ever go away. I mean, I'm just looking at my collection. Creo is practically all Generation 1 with all those Creons. The kids, no matter what age they are, they go into Toys R Us, they are bombarded with a reminder of where Transformers came from, to the point that their ignorance is almost unexcusable because of just how much is in their face. And not to mention, because the internet is right there, it's not a matter of finding an old VHS tape on eBay of some G1 episodes. Now there's DVD box sets that are readily available in Future Shop. There's YouTube that has it all over the place. Millions upon millions of websites and Wikipedias. I mean, it's all there.
Yeah.
So today, it's impossible for them to not know Generation 1. And as we get further away from Generation 1, it's just as strong as it's ever been in celebration because of the amount of stuff there is constantly. Right. I mean, I just picked up today Combiner War stuff. I mean, it's just G1 Superion. It's just G1 Thundercracker. It's not like some.
Somebody got shot. I heard something.
Sorry, what?
Somebody got like shot.
Or someone got slapped with a box or something.
Yeah. You got my hands up.
But now,
my hands up. See, wasn't me.
Well, now, see, Daniel, you raised a good point. One thing I was getting towards making on my point was the fandom is going to be more fractured now as time goes on, because you have so many shows that was everyone's – it was their G1. And so I think going forward in the future, as a fandom, we're going to have to be more tolerant of people's – you're not going to have that unifying theme of G1. Well, you're going to have more people.
Well, the way that I see it, and what I love about it, is that I see it as an opportunity to introduce people to something that's amazing, who normally didn't know about it. Because I had to go through that during the late 90s and the early 2000s, when meeting G1 fans who didn't know what Master, you got to see this. guy, Star Saber, he's awesome. It's our job to just introduce these new ones to what came before. Hey, man, this 80 got to see it. It's better than the Bay movies. You know, like, it's our job just to educate them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a matter of tolerance. It's a matter of stepping up and doing the job that I had to do even back in the late 90s when there was tons of stuff that people didn't know exist. Beast Wars 2nd, Beast Wars Neo, Scramble City Part 2, you know, like all those stuff that people didn't know.
You know, I see this a lot in the Facebook groups, in the many Facebook groups that I'm a part of, especially here recently where I've been sharing some photos. It's like I'll share a photo of, say, a TFC Hercules next to Superion, and so many people's like, who's the big green guy? And I'm sitting there, my first reaction is like, oh, my God, you don't know who Devastator is? and then... Quite frankly, there are some people out there that came on during like the Bay movies, or you know, I shudder at that as a G1 fan, but they came on during the G1 or during the Bay movies or the animated. You know, there's a few of us. I know Megamus. He hates animated. I like the show, but I didn't care for the toys. You know, there's something out there in Transformers for everyone. And now, like, you know, there are so many fans out there that are like, like what Daniel was saying about people in the late 90s, early 2000s. I was one of those G1 fans that had never heard of Star Saber, had never heard of Master Force Victory or Headmasters, except for the Headmasters that we had. I didn't know that there was a Sound Blaster and a Twin Cast. I didn't know that Sixshot was a ninja consultant from the planet Cyberton.
That's not like this because of some really bad guys.
Yeah, but I was totally unaware of that stuff. But then and Death Source, you know, I didn't even know about these characters, and it was like a whole new world of Generation One opened up to me. And quite honestly, I mean, information leaked out a little bit more slowly back then, even on the web, than it does now. And it took me a couple of years to learn about some of these new characters. And now whenever I post a picture on Facebook and or on Twitter or Instagram, and somebody asks me, who is that? I actually kind of enjoy the fact that, you know, I can tell someone about this character that they may not have known before. You know, they're learning about it for the first time.
There's always levels of Transformer fans, and it was something I wrote an article like, and it was such, I mean, if I read it today, I would chuckle, but I wrote this article back in like 2001. It was called The Tiers of Transformer Fans, like what level of fan they were and like how much they know. And, you know, you had like the first tier fans that they saw it as a kid, the G1 cartoon, and don't really know much past that. And then, you know, it went up through that where, you know, you know the level 5 fan kind of knew who Nightbeat was, where, you know, even back then I was like, wow, if you knew who Nightbeat was, congratulations. You know, today it's so different, but back then it was a whole different world. But I was actually reminded of that not too long ago, because when I was buying a bunch of Beast Hunter toys, I remember I was checking out at Target, and the guy behind the cash must have been, let's say, mid-20s to late-20s. And he's like, oh, are you a collector? And I'm like, yeah, and everything. He's like, so who's your favorite character? And I said, Rodimus. He had no idea who I was talking about. And I said, oh, he's not one of those Michael Bay movie characters. So there's some people that maybe all they know is the Bay movies. Maybe all they know is what's on television. It's something that has always existed. And I know that Megamus and me, especially, we've always had to be in a situation where we've always met people who knew less than what we knew. And it was always our job to kind of put them up to speed, you know? So I have no problem with the different fractures of the fandom, because to me, that's always a chance to introduce them to something awesome. Whether, you know, I mean, right now, there's a lot of fans. I mean, I always say go to DeviantArt and you can just get an idea of what's hot right now. And I mean, as much as some of the stuff on DeviantArt might be a little questionable.
Slash.
But in general, like, it'll give you an idea. Like, when Prime was out, that was the hottest thing out there. And there was people just going gaga for it. And I see it myself doing conventions. People will go out of their way to get the latest Prime toys or whatever of specific age groups I would see, where obviously more guys our age would be trying to hunt down that great shot or something a little more of our generation, if you want to call it that. So you really see it. I mean, it blew my mind when a year ago people were trying to hunt down Armada toys, where for the longest time no one wanted Armada toys. Yeah. But that's just the sliding scale of how things are going. It's someone's G1, as Don said. You know, like,
it's like, you know, well,
that's one of the things we were kind of, you know, talking about, was because it's like you got all these guys that are all about G1. In the future, 20, 30 years from now, what do you see coming out? Honestly, probably within the next 10 to 15 years, we'll probably end up seeing a Masterpiece Armada Prime. Because that's the
I don't know about that.
Well, wasn't Micron, you know, Prime or Micron Convoy was like the second on the poll for highest votes, wasn't he?
It was second on the poll, but even though it was second on the poll, I honestly don't see Japan doing that anytime soon. Because the thing is these decisions are done from both sides of the pond. And I don't see Hasbro going like, yeah, I could totally see that doing well in our market. Yeah. I think that – and Japan, they're really hell-bent right now, it looks like, getting a majority of the 84, 85, 86 characters out there. I mean, the fact that we got a Star Saber Star Saber really is that only character I could see outside of the 84, 85 getting that kind of treatment, because all I have to do is look at – how Japan handled their other soft goods of products when it came to leaders. Like, you look at the Mega PVC line that came out in early 2001. You had Optimus Prime, Megatron, Rodimus, Starscream, Star Saber. And then when they would do Robot Masters, which was another, like, let's harken back to the old characters.
That was the first Star Saber I ever owned.
Optimus Prime, Starscream. You know, they had, you know, the Megatron tank that clearly was G1 Megatron, but they had Star Saber. So Star Saber was one of those characters in that market that resonated very strongly. That's why we got the Wing Saber character in Super Link, because they really wanted to bring that character in and do a homage to him. But in general, Japan loves their G1. They love their G1. The car robot 1970s Daikon Microman thing is a part of their history. It's a big part of their history. And they want to constantly have those masterpiece toys.
Do you think that's why they did the homage to the quote unquote die clone? You know, you've got the Marlboro Wheeljack that they keep talking about, exhaust. The blue streak, and the black. I mean, all that stuff, and it comes from Takara, because it is from Japan. And so they're getting their niche in also. And, of course, they're imports, so we're seeing it. And, you know, everyone likes to think that everything's gauged towards us, the U.S., but it's not.
Well, it's really just the U.S.
You know, U.S., Canada, all of it, you know.
It really isn't.
They marketed Japan, and we're eating it up.
Yeah, unlike Bandai, knows the world outside Japan exists.
Right.
And tries to market to it. Bandai...
Well, Aaron Archer, back in 2003, I remember he said when they were working on the early designs for Energon, he was saying how, like, they would do back and forth when it came to designing. They'd go like, okay, we want to do this character. And they were talking about Wing Saber. And then Japan went back and said, yeah, we'd like to have him have a sword, because, you know, it would be like Star Saber. And then they went back and forth. And in the end, the only reason why this character happened was because of an agreement to make it a combiner with Optimus Prime. And it was the same thing with any characters that turn into trains. They said, you know, there's different markets. Trains are really popular in Japan. They're not really as popular in America. Those kind of decisions happen on both sides of the ocean. Yeah. And,
you know, and yeah, exactly.
No,
I will say, you brought up trains, and it's not just Transformers that has this cultural identity problem. The current Sentai, Resha Sentai Tokuger, is based on trains. Yeah. Is that going to come over to the U.S. because it'll be train-based Megazords, which is, again, it's not as popular in the U.S. as Japan. So it's not just Takara, it's not just Bandai. Everyone has cultural problems.
Yeah, marketing different areas. Thomas the Train Engine has an entire aisle in Toys R Us.
It's
not
true.
Not to mention that knockoff Thomas the Train Combiner that everybody laughs about. I mean, come on.
And the thing, especially when it comes to Sentai, though, I don't want to deviate from Transformers, but I think that the Sentai American community, I think that after they got Shinkanger with those calligraphy letters, I think anything's kind of possible with Sentai coming stateside. So, yeah.
Well, here's a really good one since we're talking about the train stuff. A lot of us during the 80s know about the Transformers Tyco train set that came out.
One thing I never
Do you see possibly the future of us probably getting something like that ever again?
Well, the first question I have to ask you, do kids even care about model trains anymore? Which they don't.
I mean, I don't know if they do, but you do still see slot car. Well, you do see some train stuff at Toys R Us, and you do see some slot car stuff. But it's not, like, as heavy as it was when we were kids. But they're still there.
The toy market is very different than it is today. So for them to kind of break away and do licensed products like that, you have to understand, you're giving an example of when Transformers was probably its second hottest, which was 1985, when Hasbro was licensing out to everybody. I mean, they got Remco to do RC Transformer stuff. They got, again, you mentioned Tyco with both the slot car and the HO scale train set. That's kind of a different time when toys were huge. I mean, when Transformer aisles were literally Transformer aisles, you know, it was a different.
That was so awesome.
It was a different era. So, I mean, for today, for that kind of stuff to be prevalent, I mean, it's already very difficult to get kids to buy specific Transformer toys, let alone to explain to them. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, train sets, God, like, That's literally a product of its time, and the only people that have train sets today are older men who have those big train set cities at home.
Yeah, I mean, because the big demographic here for like I said, Thomas the Train Engine, you're talking about two to five year olds, and then they grow out of it, and then they don't care anymore.
Exactly.
Well, it's probably because they don't really market it the way they used to. I mean, like Dan was saying.
Again, I hate to deviate, but Thomas the Tank Engine was something originally created in the UK that got really hot over here. And then Shining Time Station started really circulating those episodes voiced by Ringo Starr. And then it became really hot here. I don't know what the resurgence, why there was such a huge resurgence of it, aimed at that 2 to 5 year old market, but maybe because the toys are simple, because they're little wood trains and there's less, you know, breakable parts on it.
At that age, trains are something cool, but I mean, in most, especially in the Western world,
train going by,
especially in the Western world, trains are far less of a common thing.
That's why it's so popular in Japan, because the Shihoku and all those liner trains are an everyday part of life in Japan, in America, not every town has a subway, let alone a train. You know?
Basically,
so, I mean, if you're in New York, a subway is a big deal. If you're in like Wyoming, you're never going to see that in your life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we have a commuter rail here, and I drive by and I laugh at it as it goes by because there's no one inside of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing of it is that, you know, for in the U.S., a train is an inconvenience you have to wait on to pass by. You know, really. You know,
it is, and you're right about that, Don, because what's that going by my house right now? That's a freight train. There's no passengers on it. And to be honest, it's because of the demographics in the United States, the way things are set up. We don't promote train transport like they do over in the UK and such. And honestly, it's a sad thing because I'm one of those kind of guys, I happen to love trains.
I'm kind of the same way. I wish we had more mass transit like that.
And to be honest, I think people would travel more. People would get outside of their little bottle that they're in. And they would actually get to see more of the United States, although the U.S. is really large. But still.
Not getting too far off, but I will say this. Cars are also a bigger part of the U.S. mindset than a lot of European countries.
Yeah. So, well, it's because of American muscle and stuff, but now that's kind of dying.
Right, but I'm saying, again, that ties back to Transformers. You got cars and vehicles and things like that. But speaking of vehicles and cars and other stuff that transforms into other stuff, if you need to buy any, we happen to know two very good places to get them. Doran, where's those two places at?
Yes. I want to mention our sponsors, CapturedPrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com for all your import Transformers needs. And also, if you are into the vintage toys, kind of like Generation 1, Beast Wars, pretty much anything in between, check out Mega Toy Fan. Brett, you want to plug the Mega Toy Fan real quick?
We have stuff like this.
And it's not just Transformers.
That was a G1 Vroom.
Yeah, Mega Toy Fan has lots of other things that are.
Stuff like this.
Yeah, and I'll tell you from
even
experience.
Newer stuff. Yeah. There you go. Look at that.
I'll tell you from experience.
Even stuff like that. Garbage.
I'll tell you from experience. A complete G1 Vroom. It's not something you stumble across every day.
No, it's not. Nah. It's very difficult to actually complete that guy because
it took me a while to get one complete.
But I do want to mention our sponsors, CapturedPrey.com and Mega Toy Fan. Great places to pick up your vintage and third-party Transformers. I know also Capture Prey has been carrying a lot of current Hasbro releases. I know I picked up a lot of my Combiner Wars stuff through Captured Prey. So check them out, and they're at retail prices. So, you know, save some gas money. Yeah, save some gas money. Go ahead, just order them off of Captured Prey. And if you want those premium paint schemes, Captured Prey's got those as well. But, you know, here on TFYLP, this is what we're all about. Not just plugging our sponsors, but also what we've been talking about in this episode is educating the fans. And, you know, not everybody that listens to this show is G1 through and through. Much to the chagrin of some people, you know, like Brett. But yeah, but you know,
I carry other lines.
Like I said a while ago, you know, I see a lot on the Facebook groups. There's a lot of people out there that don't know about a lot of things in the Transformers, but they're big fans. And they want to learn and everything. You'll learn a lot by listening to TFYLP. And if you want to know something other or learn more about it, feel free to talk to us in our Facebook group, the TFYLP Facebook group. We also have a message board at tftalk.net as well as a growing image gallery over there. Or you can tweet us at TFYLP. Be happy to inform you. We've got a lot of people that's really knowledgeable on the Transformers from the beginning all the way up to what's out right now. And you'll find a lot of that kind of information. We're a different kind of Transformer podcast. We don't necessarily talk about what we got this week on every show. We have a lot of information to expel to you. And we may redo certain episodes. I know we've kind of covered the future of the brand before, but it evolves just like the fandom. And, you know, Sideburn, you know, you're a big Beast fan, but.
You're a big Beast.
He's a big Beast.
Beast what I heard. Fan.
You're just such a.
You're beast. A big Beast. That's what I heard.
I do want to know, how do you define yourself? I know you're not, I mean, you have some G1s, you like some G1. But you're not necessarily a G1 fan through and through. How would you define yourself as a Transformer fan? I mean, without just saying I'm a Transformer fan, I like all Transformers. How would you define yourself?
For me, Transformers come down to, I like good stories, and this is true in most of what I'm interested in. So that's why, I mean, when I talk about like my favorites, and I like a lot of what Transformers is, even some of the crap, you know, I can find a gem in Energon, but when it comes down to it, my favorites, yeah, I mean, like, the ones I like in Energon is something like Slugslinger, which is not even in the show.
I do.
Interesting
I do
choice.
Like yeah.
I do like that one.
See, there you go. So, but when it comes down to me, you know, the Beast Wars and the animated, I like those because I really liked the story that they crafted. I've recently read some of the comics, the more recent comics, some before Dark Cybertron, and I really started falling in love with that stuff, and probably end up picking up more of that stuff when I can, because it's good stories. I mean, so when it comes down to it, as a fan, if it's a good story, I'm gonna like it. If that makes sense. I don't really like to...
No,
you know,
it makes sense completely. Yeah. You're drawn into something that has good fiction. That's totally understandable. If you're a modern fan and you look back at Generation 1, it's a hard pill to swallow today.
Yeah.
Aside from the 86 movie, more or less. But I understand that if you're someone who watches Beast Wars, that has phenomenal writing. I mean, everything Mainframe did really during that era... But it's just, and the fact that you, the More Meets the Eye stuff, the Dark Cybertron, all that late IDW stuff that James Roberts is doing right now, that's so woven so beautifully. I can understand why you're drawn to that too, because that's very character driven. And I think that's also probably the most thing that's lacking in Transformers is to have stuff that's very character driven.
Yeah, and so that's what really drives my collecting in most instances. We'll forget about the Godzilla figures behind me. I like that for a whole other reason. That's the cheese factor I'm really big into. And
the kaiju factor.
Yeah, and the monster fights. And that. So that's a little different because I could see someone now being like, oh, you like good stories. Well, what about the Godzilla figures behind you? Well, it's different. But
Godzilla is a good storyline. It's been an evolving storyline.
The answer is always Godzilla. Your problems are irrelevant.
But exactly. But I mean, when I look around my room and the stuff that I've really latched on to, it's usually because I like the story and I want to own whatever I can of that represents that story. So, you know, that's why I'm mad about Beast Wars. That's why I got a whole shelf of animated or several shelves of animated. I also like good toys, but you know, like I've sold some of the toys that I really was really fond of just because after a while, the fiction or what I remembered of it, you know, I'm like, this is a cool toy, but I don't really care about this character. So, that's really what holds me in. Oh, what is that? Is that Pack Rat?
No.
Or is it a prototype?
It is.
I want a black rat trap.
Rat trap. Wow.
Black.
That's freaking cool.
I was just, you know, as you talked, I went pulled, you know.
Yeah. Huh. As you were that's talking. A prototype there. Unpainted face?
That, and it actually has a, if you look at the insignia, it's red.
Wow. Yeah.
Can you see it? Yeah.
Wow.
You know, just as you were speaking, I was like, oh, I got that. And you were like, oh, I got that. But no, without a doubt, and I had to get this because my second favorite Beast Wars figure.
Yeah, suck on that, Chad. Call back to an old episode.
Look at that. Wait a minute. You're not going to ask me what my first one is, are you?
All right, what's your first?
Silver Bolt.
Retrax.
Roller Skate Megatron.
Scorponok. Oh, wow, that's gorgeous.
It's my favorite.
I don't see it.
My favorite.
Ah, there you go.
My favorite.
The Sandstorm recolor of him for BotCon is a really nice
piece. I love that one, too. It's just, that is, when I got back into it, and it's funny because everyone talks about me as being G1 and everything, but what got me back into it was Beast Wars.
Me too.
And it was stuff like, when I saw him on the shelf, I was like, man, that is a dumb, you flip it, there's no transformation, it's stupid. Until I actually saw the show and knew how cool of a character he was. And then I was like, gotta get him. This was, without a doubt, the neatest figure. I picked this up from, there was a place called Children's Palace. No, it was Johnny's Toys. It's here local, was in Cincinnati. And they had the Scorponok, and I went, that's just an awesome figure. And that's what got me back. This figure, not this one, but the actual retail, got me back into it. And so I do. I love Beast Wars. And I love the when they do little homages and you know, when they redo, like, you know, they redid Rhinox, Rat Trap, all of them. I love them. And I really wish they would do more because I do like Beast Wars. I like the whole yeah. – it was, in my opinion, it was a subsection of Transformers. It had its own storyline from beginning to end. You know, you're lost. They found their way back. Boom, and done. When you get into Beast Machines, you know, I'm not as happy. But Beast Wars, to me, was it was good. It was really good. So that's what got me back into collecting. And then, of course, and that was something I was going to mention before, even though I collect Diaclone, I mean, I wasn't collecting when they were out. So even with those people that come in now, they're going to look at it and go, man, I really love that Ironhide figure. And they're going to go back and look at Ironhide, heaven forbid, Armada. They're going to go back and they're going to see Ironhide G1. And they might even go back and see Ironhide as he was in Diaclone. It's a progression, but it's also, I'm not going to say a regression, but you're going to go backwards if you really like the characters. I mean, a perfect example is Bumblebee. I mean, who would have thought that he would have been the leader of the group? In some instances, the guy that was, you know, excellent in battle. And if anyone remembers G1, he was espionage. He was the little spy. He was the little guy. So
as far from the leader as you could get, almost.
Right. And you're going to get that. And people are going to go, man, I like that character. I want all of them. So you're going to get that Diaclone, G1, G2, Armada, Energon, all the way up Beast Wars, Beast Machines, all the way up Prime to what's new. Yeah. And the thing is, in my opinion, if you really want a masterpiece figure of whoever you like, if you want your masterpiece Beast Wars Scorponok, you need to let them know. If enough people, if they go, hey, we can sell enough of these, they'll do it. You know, I mean, they just will. So you want to see it, you need to let them know.
Yeah, and I want to go back to the when I was talking earlier. I wanted to stress that I don't think my point is that the G1 influence is never going to go away. I don't think that's really the discussion here. It's more, is it going to stop being, you know, right now G1 is sort of like, I would give it like 80% of what's coming out right now, with like a 20% margin for new things or for a mixture of other things. I just think we're going to start seeing more homogenization. I mean, that's what they've started doing with the comics. They've started introducing characters from all over Transformers into the comics.
Movies too.
Yeah, and so
look at Age of Extinction. Look at the cast of Autobots. You had Drift, who is a what's called a Neo G1 character from the IDW comics. You could call him Hound all you want. That was Bulkhead. You know, we had Lockdown, which was an animated inspired character. We had Crosshairs, which, I mean, you could stretch and say Target Master from 87, but he really was kind of an original character.
That was a stretch. That was a stretch. He was an original character with a G1 name. Yeah. That's all he was.
Stretch Armstrong couldn't make that connection.
Nice.
But it just shows that, especially with the IDW comics, like you mentioned, even they're bringing in characters from different walks of life into that G1 verse. Just because, like, I mean, Tankor made an appearance, Rat Trap's in it. They introduced those new Minicon guys. It's slowly everything is becoming one, you know, without sounding cheesy, but that really is the case, especially like. Look at any new show. You'll take something like what just passed Transformers Prime, and if you really took each character individually, you could go, okay, so here's RC, but she turns into a motorcycle. So that's influence from the Energon and the movie stuff, despite the fact of possessing a G1 name. And then you could take a character like Bumblebee, and yeah, he's yellow, but he's still kind of a sports car, so there's movie influence. And then you look at Ratchet, and he's kind of cranky, and he's kind of, you know, he has the white, and he has those colors. So that's more influence from his Generation 1 character, more so the Marvel Comics version. And then you go to Bulkhead, and there's the animated character, and totally influenced from animated. And then you keep going through the ranks of the characters. You look at someone like Dreadwing, that was very influenced by Depcharge from Beast Wars and stuff like that. And you see a lot of that. Like it's more and more turning at that, like the aligned continuity, as it's called. There's more of a mesh of stuff happening now of things. And we're still in the aligned continuity. And when that ends, it'll be interesting to see where Hasbro wants to go next on a fictional and storytelling level. But until that comes, right now we still have that kind of meshed continuity thing. I mean, I wanted to talk about it actually on another podcast I was on about how, I mean, for the first time ever, we're going to have a Decepticon leader named Steeljaw. But yet you look at that name Steeljaw and what it means to the fiction prior to that and what it represented as a character. I mean, that was just a tape cassette Autobot, and here he is now a Decepticon leader. I mean, and what that's going to change, because the thing is that things like that, when that happens, that changes the scope everything of Transformers, because if that character Steeljaw becomes a very popular character, it could take that name and totally throw it in a different direction from that point on. And
but wait a minute, real quick.
Barricade.
Do you think that they did that purposely, or it was one of those, let's save the name, people will totally kind of get it?
The problem is, because of the Hasbro market, it usually is the save the name thing.
What I thought.
Because they would not call Mach Alert from Robots in Disguise, the 2001 series, they would not call Mach Alert Prowl unless they really had to for a name saving. Same thing, we have a guy in the boards here, in the talk here, named Sideburn, you know, but they would have totally called him Speedbreaker if they didn't have to go, oh, we have to register the name and we probably not going to. Or when they had Mega Octane, shows like that really showed how it's not so much just homaging a character, but we got to throw a name somewhere. I'm pretty sure if name licensing was an issue, I don't think the character of Steeljaw would have been called Steeljaw. They would have, like the Japanese, and I guarantee it, probably the Japanese, when they bring over this series, they'll probably give him a completely different name. They'll probably give him something like Doc Howlah or something, you know, some weird Japanese-y kind of
name. I'd have bought him instantly if they would have called him Wolfing.
Yeah, and right now Hasbro has Fang Wolf. That's what they have licensed. They did a Creo not too long ago to keep that name in the perpetual generation of it. Look at and unfortunately, a lot of times these names are decided only because they have no intent of using the name anywhere else. When you get a Hero Masher Rodimus, it means that Hasbro has no intent that year of using the Rodimus name for anything else, so they throw it somewhere. So
it'd be nice if they bring Cloud Rodimus over here.
No, you and me both. Price. Sure would be cheap for me, that's for sure. But it's one of those things that right now a lot of those names are decided by those that unfortunate American way of naming characters. But the thing is that the way we name those characters do take a long-term effect. Duran just said Barricade. Barricade for the longest time was just a Micromaster and nothing else. I mean, he was featured on the
F1 racer at that. It wasn't even a police car.
Oh yeah, it was a F1 racer Decepticon that was pink and baby blue. He was featured in the Micromaster Dreamwave comic book. Really was a nobody character. Here's the Michael Bay movie.
Well, then there's totally the Energon Combiner, the Bruticus.
Yeah, you're right. And there was the Energon Combiner, the centerpiece for Bruticus. And again, that was more so just, well, here's the name that we have right now, and we're just throwing – because the name Barricade was also – the name Barricade existed in 1989 for the Micromaster line. Then the name was sadly another line that Hasbro had at the time called Cops, and there was a character called Barricade, so they moved it over there. Then it moved to Go, and there was a character in G.I. Joe called Barricade. And by the time that all came around, oh, hey, let's throw this at a Energon character, which they could have totally called it Octane or whatever. But at the time, Onslaught, but at the time, they didn't have the license to the name. And, you know, they called it Barricade. And a couple of years pass, it's 2006 when they're doing the development for the movie. Let's call this police car Barricade. And the rest is history, you know. And then now we associate an evil Decepticon police car with Barricade, not a Formula One car. If we have an evil Formula One car, it's probably going to be called Fracture. You know, there's
Crasher.
Yeah, there's already been Fracture toys up to this point, you know, like of an evil Decepticon kind of Formula One car. Yeah, you have Dragstrip also, but that's more associated with Menasor and the Combiners. And it's just, we have like a good example, Strongarm, that's going to be in the new RID series too. The name Strongarm has been used many times within the mythos of Transformers, whether it's been an Energon toy, a Minicon, but now we're going to have it as a female kind of police, and that's going to stick. That's going to happen. That's going to become so predominant that there's going to be nothing else. There has been a character called Knockout in the past in Transformers, but here comes a Prime character. We're going to associate it with that from this point on because of it, that's the more resonating character. For the longest time, when Red Alert was a character in Armada, every character iteration of Red Alert at that point was more homaging that Red Alert, not the original G1 Red Alert. And the ironic thing was that character Red Alert in Micron Legend was called Ratchet, which is, I mean, it's so crazy when you really, like, see how the name conventions work. But it really has a lasting effect on, I mean, especially Japan now, how they're adopting all the American names. They're calling it Optimus Prime. They're not calling it Convoy anymore. I mean, it's really interesting how things are going with that, too. Ironhide instead of Iron Hand, yeah. A lot of that. I went on a rant there, sorry.
Sorry. It's okay.
We all do. We all do. You know, let's see, just, you know, from each of us, where do each of us want to see the brand in about 10 to 15 years, and why do you want to see that direction unfold? And let's go and start with Daniel.
Oh, man. I have no idea. You know what? I used to think that I knew what could be done with Transformers and what can't be done with Transformers. I used to think I really knew this answer. But now I don't know anything anymore when it comes to that answer, because we had stuff like Power Core Combiners, and it used to be like, this is all we got for Combiners. It'll never be any better than that. And you know, look what happened with that. And I mean, I would have never thought that we'd be getting like perfect, you know, Rhinox figures from Generations. I never thought that we'd be getting a Death's Head, you know, from Marvel, you know, like it's just like this. And this is Hasbro. Keep in mind, this isn't just like one brand, Hasbro. It's just as it stands right now. I don't know. I don't know what the next – all I know one thing for sure that I could guarantee is Generations is strong. It's one of the best-selling things they got. That's going to keep on trucking. And I know that Masterpiece is going to keep doing 84, 85, 86.
That was if you meant that pun, that was wonderfully terrible.
I got it. I got it. Keep on trucking.
Either way.
Keep on trucking, not monkeying.
Hey!
Either way, I can't predict.
Does not agree.
Thank you. Love that mold.
I can't predict where Fiction's going to go. I can't even predict where the comics are going to go because even James Roberts is all over the place with the comics. I mean, if next year you told me that Creo isn't going to exist and they're going to drop a majority of the sublines, I'd believe that. If you told me that Transformers is going to focus mostly on the video game market because that's the more hot thing and Hasbro's going in that direction, I'd believe that. Right? It's so hard to predict because every year there's been such big drastic changes in the brand. It's nuts. It's nuts. Like, there's so many things have changed in the past 5 years. To say what's going to be happening in the next 10, look what Transformers was 10 years ago. Like, in 2005, we were like in the middle of Energon into Cybertron. We were barely getting a video game out on PlayStation 2. Bakon was going through its twilight years going to fund publication. Who would have thought everything that would have happened in 2005 and then those Bay movies that would have changed the brand forever? It's impossible to predict it. It's impossible.
Right. Well, Doran, how about you?
I'm kind of like Daniel, you know, I mean, I used to think I had a pretty good idea of where the brand would be, you know, 15, 20 years from now. And I'll be honest, around the end of Energon, you know, right before Animated and everything, I kind of had a thought that, you know, maybe this brand is not going to stick around. You know, it's because that was before the Bay movies hit. And as much as I don't like the Bay movies, they did do something great for the brand. They pumped a lot of interest into this brand.
Money.
Yeah. It pumped a lot of interest and a lot of money into this brand. And now I don't think that the Transformers is going to go away anytime soon. But I do foresee maybe in another 6-8 years, seeing at least maybe another something, and maybe not necessarily a live action movie, but an event that is like a live action movie to reinvigorate things, because you're going to have, this franchise has been a series of ups and downs. I mean, the Transformers brand was essentially canceled here in the United States after Generation 1. You had Generation 2 that came on, but it was slow taking off. It wasn't a huge success. It was slow to take off. You know, it has its fandom, you know, in Plasticon, but there's not a lot of, you know, it was not really popular back then. It really didn't gain a huge popularity again until Beast Wars.
And Beast Wars, in all honesty, as much as I love it to death, I find that if it didn't have that exclusiveness of being a CG cartoon, because at that time you essentially had Insectors reboot and Beast Wars. That was kind of the timeline of television shows that had CG, which was a big deal at the time. I mean, a movie like Toy Story became such a big deal because of that exclusiveness of CG. If Beast Wars was a cell-based series during the 90s, I don't think it would have found its legs of popularity that it did. You know,
well, and it had some really good, it had some really good writing. But, you know, as far as where I see the brand in 10 to 15 years, I still see it being around. I still see it being strong. I do still see a lot of Generation 1 homages. I still see a lot of maybe not as many Beast Wars homages. I think we'll start seeing a lot of Armada or the Unicron trilogies, seeing a lot of updates of those. Maybe not anytime soon, but I see some in 10 to 15 years. I see updates and redos of movie characters in 10 or 15 years, maybe even Masterpiece, that are a lot more centric, because what I see happening to the brand is something that we didn't see in the early 2000s. Back in the early 2000s, a lot of you may remember, Transformers was primarily aimed at kids, which it still is, but I mean, it was, I'd say 95% aimed at kids. And
also, in the early 2000s, it was a brand that was heavily reliant on what was coming out of Japan.
Exactly. And the thing,
if Japan didn't do it, we didn't get it.
Yeah, and the thing is that what I see now is, I think instead of 95 to 5% aimed at kids, aimed at collector's market, which back in the early 2000s, I saw 5% or less aimed at us, specifically the collectors. Now I see more of a 60-40, because the vast majority of what we're seeing on shelves is very heavily influenced by Generation 1, Generation 2, Beast Wars.
Well, yeah, it's been a while since Hasbro has said, you're not our market, you know?
Yeah, it's been quite a while. And now look at the plethora of masterpieces. I mean, it's just a steady stream coming. And now we've got the news that this year there's going to be 5 new masterpieces, and one of them looks like Trax, Ironhide, of course, Generation 1 characters, and possibly a Blaster, maybe. I don't know. But see, what I see in the future, and also having the experience of recently having a stepdaughter that was 8 years old that didn't give a damn about toys, that was an eye-opener for me. And I know a lot of other people that have children that don't care about toys. It's all about video games. It's all about media, like on YouTube.
And Hasbro is pushing that too, because Hasbro is recognizing how apps,
this right here,
all that stuff. Yeah, it's on the toys.
Right there.
They're pushing that. If you go to the App Store or the Google Play Store, whatever, right now, and type Transformers, there is at least, I think, 7 different Hasbro official applications related to the brand, because they know that they need to keep this in the – there's the Transformer Legends brand, which is like a mixture of everything, but mostly G1. There's the recently Transformers Tactics, which is very heavy on the G1. They're trying to keep the brand relevant with even that new generation of kids that are more so going to be found on an iPhone than anything else.
Yeah, and I honestly see the toy market itself, the actual toys for Transformers, being more in 10 or 15 years, I think it's probably going to be mostly collector based.
It's going to be only collector based. Yeah. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see any kid directed shows like RID2. I don't think we'll see
future. Any. The future of toys in general is how Japan is going to be in the next 5 years. Is how we're going to be in the next 10 years, because Japan right now is already in that stage where it's like, what's the kid market anymore? Japan is a very adult market. I mean, that's why everything that's cool and complex on an action figure level comes from Japan, because that market is very adult-based. They're willing to pay $30 for a complex articulated multi-hand figure and everything with interchangeable guns or whatever.
Those.
Yeah.
The monster arts.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Well, but, you know, and the Figmas and the SH figure arts and all that. But it's just... I find that as time progresses, Hasbro is going to still try to keep the brand relevant with the younger generation. And they do. They make sure that there's applications. Like I said, they haven't been just sitting around saying, oh, we're just going to wait for this ship to sink. They have apps, which is they're attacking that market to the kids who are literally just on their phone all the time. So if they're going to be on their phone all the time, at least let them make money with microtransactions of their characters. And while they have those characters, like the Transformers Tactics game that came out recently, that game is very heavily influenced by Transformers Generation, the toy line, where you're playing with characters that are like literally this G-Axis is in the game. You know, it's in the game, and you could play with that specific mold. And so they're kind of hoping that people are going to be playing this application game and go, hey, that's kind of cool, and maybe then go out and buy the product and kind of revigorate that love of 3D tangible products. But currently, Hasbro is really trying to push video games in that market and applications. And, I mean, recently with these guys here, with that little scanning thing, and it's right on the back. That's like it takes like 20% of the card back there explaining about the application, where Transformer toys are now becoming an app product because they need to cover that market. And then when these were invented because they wanted to make sure that they attack the market young. They invented Rescue Bots to go, okay, let's get them while they're 2 or 5 or 6 years old, get them to fall in love with the brand, and then get them to upgrade to generations and our mainline stuff and get them to stay with us. Hasbro is doing anything they can. They're pulling every trick out of, you know, the hat just to keep the brand relevant with this generation of a horribly increasing generation of kids that don't touch toys.
Yeah, it's the Skylander and Amiibo market.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. God. Well, Michael, you know, with you being the youngest of the group, for the most part, it's changed so much in your lifespan as far as being a fan. You've changed faster, I should say, I guess, compared to what
I mean.
You know, so, what do you think?
Because I think some of my – I think where you have the line drawn between the G1 fans and pass and after that is you guys did have that hiatus, you know, that break where things ended and then it came back as something different where, you know, for my entire lifetime as a collector, Transformers has iterated every 2 or 3 years or 4 years. You know,
reinvented itself.
So yeah, that's definitely been a difference in, you know, my start compared to anyone who started with G1, is they had that hiatus. As for where I see it going, Weird Wolf went where I was going, or in my head when I was thinking about you know what I was going to say when it got to this point is. Right now, I do sort of see the market shifting. It was seven or eight years ago, we were being told, this is not your market. You know, collectors, so they're only 20% of the market. Well, I don't believe that anymore because you go to a Toys R Us, 10% of the space is the kiddie stuff. And then the other 90% is generations. It's Platinum Series. It's, you know, it's all this
high tier product
stuff that costs way too much. Parents aren't ever going to buy this for their kids. It's definitely a shift. And right now, I think Hasbro is struggling with how to keep that younger demographic. And I honestly think in 10 to 15 years. It might not be gone. I think Hasbro will always find a way to keep some of that market. But I think that at some point we're going to see an actual, you know, coming about of a actual collector-based, you know, line. Not to say that Generations isn't, that Masterpiece isn't, but it's going to be something where it's not going to be
general retail.
It's not going to be so much in the kids section. It's going to be more like where they sort of keep the NECA products and stuff like that, you know. Which actually, in my Toys R Us, the NECA products are right next to the Transformers now, so it's already starting.
To be honest with you, in 10 to 15 years, I don't even see Toys R Us existing.
Well, yeah, I don't mean Toys R Us, but you know.
Yeah, there'll be a collector-based more market.
Yeah, it's going to be more higher in price.
The evolution kind of went where comic books became more of a direct market instead of just buying it from the newsstands and stuff. I think that Transformers, is going to reach that point where it might end up becoming just more of a collector market kind of thing, where the only way you'll be able to get your Transformer toys is through toy-based stores that carry that product that's ordered through Diamond Distributing or whatever directly from Hasbro.
Yeah.
Because, retailers are – everything's changing now. Everything's changing now. I mean, yeah. Even Transformers itself, like these new toys, they're made in Vietnam now because it's getting too expensive. Like, where is it? Right there. Made in Vietnam. You know, like it's just they're having to be made cheaply. So obviously the generation stuff, while it keeps the quality, it's also aimed at someone who's willing to pay more money.
Yeah, and toy sections keep getting smaller and smaller.
Oh yeah.
I look at it like CDs. Look at CDs 10 years ago.
Well, technologies is always the worst kind of example. I mean, to give you an example of that, like, I mean, when we say 10 years ago in 2005, there was no third party, which is a big factor. You know, there was no such thing as 3D printing today. There are so much things when it comes to technologies.
Well, 2005, we had about the only third-party product we had was the Just Toys Masterpiece Optimus MP01 trailer that didn't transform.
Possibly. Yeah, well, yeah, there was
– Well, you had the Binaltech weapon sets, but you –
Yeah, the Binaltech weapon sets. You had what the Lucas Brothers were doing on Unicron.com. Yeah. But that's on the small – I like to call it a –
Well, now, when I cyber, did you have anything you want to finish up with that? We move on to the next person.
I mean, really, that was my main point. Is I see it more. You're probably looking at online retailers, so more of an exclusivity thing. You know, higher priced. You know, this is an adult collectible sort of thing, and. I mean, that's where I see it going. I think they're struggling keeping the kid market as it is right now. Like it's been brought up, kids don't play with toys anymore.
They don't care.
Yeah. Well, Megamus, you being a toy seller, you've like Proto Man, you've seen the sliding scale he's talking about, probably to a degree as well. Do you see a lot of the same things happening, or do you see anything different happening?
No, I agree. And I'll give you an example just because I happen to have it. But you look at a Fall of Cybertron Bruticus, you're talking about a figure that was made. It was only made because of a video game. The whole Fall of Cybertron line was made because of a video game. Hasbro has decided that they are going to go into the video game market, which they did, and they did very well. And now they need to capitalize on that. How are we going to get those kids that are playing the games buying our toys? Well, we need to have what they see on the screen match what's on the shelves in the stores. But I'm still going to go back to what I said, because that's what this whole show is about, is the future. Is they're going to look at, and I really wish I had a G1 Bruticus right here, because I would say they're going to look at this, and eventually they're going to get to this, which is the G1. You're going to say, hey, I love this character. I want to know where it came from. I want all the incarnations of it. And because that's what I did. That's what a lot of people did. They come in the middle, and most of us came in the middle. You know, I don't know anyone. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't know anyone here that came in right at Diaclone and started at Diaclone and worked forward. See, we all started in the middle. And some of us went backwards to get what we didn't have, and some of us have progressed forward. Some of us were just happy where we're at, whatever. So you're going to see it. Just because we start at here doesn't mean we're not going to go backwards, forwards, whatever. So I think the future, I think we're going to want, as a consumer, we're going to want more. So the Masterpiece line, I think, is just the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion, what we've seen. And you're going to see more. You're going to see more. You're going to get more from Hasbro for your characters, but you got to let them know. You got to let them know that you want, I don't know, you want a Masterpiece rendition of Broadside because you want, you know, a 3-foot-long, you know, aircraft carrier or whatever, you know, that transforms, you know.
Don't kill my wallet.
Imagination. And, you know, whatever. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and then you can just play it with your Titan-class Devastator holding up, you know, the split second he's holding up Broadside before
he... Well, and that actually brings another point that I mentioned to Durin, is that Generation's Metroplex. Does anyone here know what that was? What that was for?
The game.
Do you know why? No. Why it was made so grand, so big, and they threw everything out at it?
A playset for all the Legends figures.
No, it was a message to the third parties.
Exactly. That was a message to the third party that said, "We can do it, and we can do it cheaper." So you're gonna see it. And trust me, I mean, if you were in my room, you would see. I have a lot of third party. I support them. I mean, I love them. I mean, I just bought this thing right here.
Room.
I
He's
love
not
it.
Lying at all?
Yeah, I love this thing. Okay, but I'm telling you, Hasbro is noticing, and what they're planning on doing is shutting you down.
Aaron Archer said it at TFCon. I think it was the. Aaron Archer said a person asked how much on the radar was Hasbro when it came to third-party stuff, and he said that every single release that they get their eyes on, it gets documented in a book. Like he says, there's this big phone book in Hasbro where every single third-party release is documented, just for their own legal even. Just so, like, if ever they do, you know, like, what if someone did a Hearts of Steel Starscream, which they did. I believe it was Mastermind.
Yes.
If Hasbro ever did do that in the future, they want to make sure that they don't step on toes and match stuff, because who knows, as crazy it sounds, they might be able to get sued by a third party company for stealing designs or something. I mean, it sounds crazy.
I hear.
Right.
They make a heavy effort to document everything that's there. So it totally is on their radar a lot more than you think.
Right. And it's not just because they don't want to do that, but they're also thinking the company is taking money away from us. So how do we make it so that we revert it and we get the money back?
Especially that.
Unfortunately, everyone would like to say, well, Hasbro is looking out for my best interest. They want, they want me to have the best version of this toy or whatever, and that's what they're doing. They're gonna make sure that it gets into my hands the cheapest as possible, and everything's right in the world, and we all love each other, and blah blah blah. No,
Hasbro has investors.
Money. They want your money, and Hasbro, they're like, "How do I get your money?"
Exactly, and Hasbro has investors, and every time they have to go into that meeting room with all the investors and go, "Here's our profits for this quarter." And it's just a game of that. To them, that's all that really matters, is them going, how does the profits work? Because Aaron Archer pointed out, he's like, didn't you find it amazing how Hasbro laid off a majority of their staff during one of their largest profitable years they've ever had in the past 25 years of the brand at that time? And he was saying, because all it had to do was they came back one quarter of that year, showed the investors, hey, Transformers isn't doing really well this quarter. Because it's like, imagine if Transformers was only making $1 million profit every year, the Bay movies come out, now they're making $22 million profit, and then one year they made $21 million profit. To the investors, that's a loss. They don't see how great everything is, they just saw a loss. And unfortunately, the way Hasbro functions is they do stuff to make the investors happy. If the investors say, well, it's too expensive to make these generations toys. Make them cheaper. Make them in Vietnam. Put less paint. Make them less simplistic. They're going to go with their investors to keep the profits up, to keep the money. Because there's a whole political scheme to this, unfortunately, of how this all works. It's not just to make us happy. Trust me, at the bottom of the food chain of this, we have the guys sitting at the Hasbro product preview panel at BotCon. Those are the guys that are trying to sell it to us, saying, like, look, we want to give you the best, you know, Lightspeed or Strafe or whatever character you just had there. I couldn't see quickly. I think it was Light. It was Strafe you were holding.
Afterburner.
Was it Afterburner? I don't know.
Afterburner.
You know, like, they want to give us the best iteration of that character, but they have to do it within the rules of politics, of plastic prices and all kinds of stupid little things that luckily a third-party guy could do. You know, the old saying, whatever it costs is what it's worth. Whatever it's worth is what you're going to pay. You know, so, I mean, I'm really curious how they do that Titan Devastator. I mean, we've read stuff, some of it not sounding very positive. But I'm really curious how they're going to do this Titan Devastator existing in that kind of world that we are today. I mean, I don't expect Giant or Hercules. I really don't. Yeah. But I'm curious what they will do.
Well, Jason, what about you, man? What words of wisdom do you have?
I agree with a lot of the points dealing with the demographics of the way things are nowadays. Yes, in the future, it's going to be a collector's market. I can already just see that. And to be honest, I think it's going to go even further than the simple fact that, oh, I got to go online to purchase something. I think because of the technology of 3D printing becoming more prevalent here within the years, things are going to get cheaper on that route. So you won't be going to a store. You won't be getting a package in the mail. What I see is you're going to be printing your own toy in your room to actually have it. Because that's the way I see the market going, because third party, sorry, too expensive because of materials, designing costs, shipping costs, marketing the thing, so much involved with that. Same thing with Hasbro. I hate to say it, but Hasbro cost them a lot of money to get the oil to be able to make, you know, to be able to build the stuff that they got to do in order to make the plastics to get all this stuff out there on the market so that way we can purchase that item. In 15 years, it's going to be, oh, you go online, you pay X amount of money for the blueprints, you load it in your CAD program, it uploads to your 3D printer, and it prints your toy. And there it is. Whether it's a masterpiece or what it is. And I hate to say it, you're not going to see diecast anymore. It's going to be a thing of the past. It'll be like a snap-type model kit.
I didn't even think about this, but now that you're bringing it up, this is why Hasbro partnered with
Shapewaves. Oh, yeah. No, trust me. They know the future. They know the future. Like, the thing is that, like Don said before, technology is everything. If you look at CD burning and what it was back in 95 and then how what it was in 2005, that 10-year span, it was insane. Back in 95, you maybe knew one guy who had a CD burner, and he was like the one guy who was copying CDs or whatever for you, and you had to buy these CDs from Future Shop, and they came in a spool of 10 for maybe like $50. Now, everyone has a CD burner built into their laptop. Like literally everyone, and you can buy a.
Most people nowadays have a Blu-ray burner, which, five years ago, those were very expensive and very hard to get.
Exactly, and now you could buy a spool of blank CDs, like 100 of them, for like $29.99 from the fucking dollar store or whatever. Like, it's just the market has changed so much because of technology. Imagine what 3D printing is going to be 10 years from now. It's going to be insane. It's going to be absolutely insane.
It literally is the future of 90% of the toy brands out there. I mean, even Lego, as much as Lego does, they're going to end up having to bend to this one time, because what have they done with their product? You think about it, in the past few years, they've had to grab every single solitary franchise they can just to slap a label on it to sell a Lego set. They can't sell a standard city set. You can't sell just a standard you know, space set or castle set. There has to be something attached to it, and that's what's going on. And not to mention they've screwed up where they lost the patent, and they don't have the patent no longer on their bricks. So everybody, anybody that can copy that. Yeah, exactly. And that's a major thing. I mean, even Hasbro has to go through and patent how a joint works in a transformer. They have to go in and patent the color scheme they're going to use on this specific thing so that way nobody else can. There's so much that's in there. But the problem is patents themselves are outdated thinking, especially with the 3D printing. I hate to say it, China's been doing it for years. They don't care about copyrights. And that's kind of the direction a lot of things have been going lately. Even the same thing with movie making. A lot of that. Me being a film guy, I see that consistently. I can go on YouTube and watch so many fan-made films that are literally almost Hollywood quality because they're shot with
technology is there.
Camera. Exactly. Yeah. Technology is cheaper. It's easier to put it out there. But what it boils down to is the execution of whatever it is that's being put together, whether it's a toy, whether it's a film, whether it's music, it's the execution, whether people are going to like it or not. Everybody out there has bought a 3P product that they didn't like, and they've gotten rid of it, and they paid an excellent, you know, a ton of money for it. But then again, there's some people out there who's bought a Hasbro product and done the same damn thing. So it's literally the execution of certain things. So that's kind of the direction this entire brand's going. I mean, you're gonna be sitting here with a 3D printer here in about 10 years in your house because it's gonna be so damn affordable to have one in your home. I mean, look at everybody that's got a quadcopter nowadays. Most people can just go out and buy one for $300 that's already got a camera on it.
Yep.
You don't even have to do that. And most people that like major filmmakers, yes, we're gonna still drop $1,500 on a great one because that's what we're using for cinematography. But if you're just doing little crazy YouTube videos and stuff like that, you're going to pay $300 for a copy.
I mean, so this technology is coming a lot faster than 10 years from now. 10 years from now, it's going to be so efficient that it's going to just dominate everything.
Well, I mean, it's gone further than just a 3D printer. It's gone to the point that you can take an item, put it in a scanner, and it will copy that thing. So the leaps and bounds of this technology is at our fingertips. I mean, to be honest, a lot of this stuff has been evolutionized because of the space race and the space industry and all this stuff. Because instead of sending up a capsule filled with tools and the pilots and the researchers and all this stuff into orbit, it's easier to just send a device with the material to print everything they need, and there you go. I need a tool. Okay, print it out. And it prints it out, and it's a functioning tool.
The replicator from Star Trek.
Exactly, and that's what's happening. So, I mean, that's honestly, that's my major opinion on the entire brand in general. 10 to 15 years, it's all going to be digital 3D printed items that you're going to be getting off the internet. There will be none of this, oh, I got to rush out to Walmart. It's already getting to the point that 90% of people buy their stuff online anyway. Most of them do. If they want that full-on Superion, they're going to buy it off the internet. They're not going to go to this Walmart and that Target and here and there, here. And most
this
people
figure
don't do that.
I bought 100% online, either from CapturePrey or Amazon.
Exactly. And that's
a lot of CapturePrey.com.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I mean, Brett even knows this. Brett knows a lot of his deals on the internet. He's got a lot of people that he goes through online because he's got such crazy vintage things that most people don't have. He knows he's a great go-to guy. And then whenever he comes up to a convention thing, he sells a ton of parts because he's got a ton of parts that nobody else has. Well, the only way he's trying to get the market out there is through the internet.
Well, especially that now more than ever, because now we all have the internet in our phones, and our phones are glued to us, like literally. Like, I'm pretty sure everyone here has their phone at least within arm's distance. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that.
But mine doesn't have internet on it because I have an old fashioned.
It's phone. Okay. It's okay. I was
no,
there.
No, whoa,
I was there.
You're
too.
Missing. You can still receive the point. Texts. That's you are means. Missing the point. The youngest member. The youngest member has the oldest phone. What the hell?
See,
oh my God!
Law of averages. Yeah,
you see this thing? It's funny. Yeah, man, I'm a freaking software engineer. Yeah, I have this.
Holy crap! That's but, even worse.
This was but, me see, before too. This was me see, also at one point.
The thing is every time I think of upgrading this, I say I only use this once in a while to make like one phone call or to text one friend. I don't use it very often, so every time I think of upgrading, I'm like, yeah, but I can buy like 10 Transformers or
I agree.
Two Monster
like
Arts figures.
Here's the difference, all right? I use this damn thing every day.
It changed,
every
yeah.
day. Now, yeah, what happens is when you get older, you know, Don, these little things come into play. So rather than using these little things, you get a bigger screen. Bigger. So you go for bigger. But in any case, yes, I do all my stuff, you know, my surfing, whatever. You know, I want to know what stuff is. I jump on this damn thing. So, yes, this thing is by my side always.
I do have a tablet, though, so that's a –
I have one of those too, because you know what? When you get into real detailed reading, this ain't big enough. So, I mean, I need something bigger.
Well, I think the last person we need to talk to is me.
You.
Me. It was me. Being the oldest, again, I have seen stuff that I never thought we would see.
Third party, I bet you've seen stuff.
Yeah. Third party. 10, 15 years ago, again, never thought we'd see it. I never thought we'd see a Transformers convention outside of something held at the local Holiday Inn Express. I've seen stuff that I've seen Unicron. I've seen Primus get an actual figure. I've seen my RC finally get made, a G1 RC. I think what we're going to see, though, is Hasbro is going to be interconnecting a lot more of their properties in a, I don't want to say a line continuity, but if they can line their shows up to have some kind of interconnectivity, like with the popularity of the G.I. Joe comic, the G.I. Joe Transformer comic, I mentioned this, that if we see a new G.I. Joe line, they might somehow tie it into Transformers, so because of the energy feeding off that comic could feed into a new Transformers line or a new G.I. Joe line that has some connections to it. So I think you're going to start seeing more of their properties tied together through some kind of tangential means, whether it's an application on the phone, whether it's a some kind of comic that includes references to the other properties, crossovers, so that way you increase the play pattern with stuff that's currently in production. So the kids get more of a it's this universe of characters. You know, this G.I. Joe knows this Transformer from one episode that was a crossover. You may not have called this G.I. Joe by his name, but we all know who he was.
Yeah, they're going to marvel it, basically.
Yeah, and because the Marvel blueprint has worked so well. If we don't see that copied on smaller scales across the board in the next 10 to 15 years, it's really a dumb idea not to at least try it once, no matter what your situation is. But I think we're going to see a lot of these properties interconnected, either subtly or blatant. It could be either way.
Hasbro's already kind of want to have all their licenses under, like, when the whole point of the hub was kind of to put everything under one umbrella and then take it from there. And, yeah. I mean...
And then put it on premium cable.
Well, that was their mistake. There's still some old thinking in other areas, but either way, continue.
So that's what I think we're going to see. More interconnectivity of the characters. As far as the toys, I hope they keep this balance. What they have right now between the kids' lines and the collector's lines, I think, is a good balance. The one thing that I think will throw it off is the movie years, where we get all this, like all these one-step changers and these robots riding dinosaurs that sparkle inside.
Yeah, I think
all this stuff
Age of Extinction really probably made Hasbro think this time. I think after Age of Extinction, Hasbro's going to really start.
I think that was just simply too much product for Age of Extinction.
They do
that really.
It was over there. And the funny thing is, when you really think about it, there really wasn't a lot of product. It's just no one's buying it.
Well, I mean, the robots riding dinosaurs, all the ones.
Dino sparkers. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, the dino sparkers. Yeah, it's stuff that really I don't think needed to be made at all, even giving the kiddified nature of it, because it looks like crap. There's hardly any fun to it. And if the thing doesn't shoot sparkles out the mouth or another orifice, why bother?
I want my dinosaur.
I'm not buying it.
Exactly.
I have never had a monster bot set my crew fire. I don't think that's going to be a problem. That's what I'm thinking.
My Dinobots ain't crapping sparks. I ain't happy.
That's funny.
Intro quote.
Before we wrap up here, I do want to remind people that our friends over at Play With This 2 will be starting their crowdfunding or Kickstarter program very soon, I believe sometime in February. So here in the next week or two, we're going to start seeing their Kickstarter go up. They've been showing a lot of great new reveals on Tuesdays. I've been sharing them on the Facebook group. I just want to remind people, if you're the least bit interested in these guys and what they're doing and some great stuff on there, check them out and give them your support come this February. I love those guys and I fully support what they're doing. So I just wanted to remind people about those.
Yeah.
Well, I love seeing when they get any final thoughts. A Metal Hawk everybody can afford, actually. I think that's probably about it, unless anyone has anything else they want to add. But I think we gave the folks a lot to think about, especially the younger folks who's going to be inheriting our spots in the years to come. So, I guess that's it. Thank you for joining us for this episode of TFYLP. For all here at Transformer Central, we'd like to thank you for joining us and have a really great week, and we'll catch you next time.
See you next week.
See ya.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.